traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Israel is not asking us to launch attacks on Iran. I've ever heard the Israelis come to us and say, will you help us or will you attack Iran or go in after Iran? They're not asking for that. They're not asking for it. But I think we go from that to the other extreme, which is Joe Biden telling Netanyahu, take the win, don't do anything. And then his people leaking it to the media, leaking it to the press. They know that Israel's going to respond. They know this for a fact. So why would the White House leak it? There's only one reason they leaked that. And that is that so when Israel does respond, the White House can say, we told them not to do it, and at least somehow appease these so-called peace activists, these so-ceasefire now people who were out yesterday cheering the launch of hundreds of rockets and drones and missiles against Israel. People that are out there cheering military attacks of this scale and scope are not peace activists. These are anti-Semites, anti-Israel, pro-terrorist elements out there. And we need to stop calling them peace activists. They are not peace activists. Peace activists do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. My name is Wayne Dupree. It is Monday, April 15th, tax day, for those of you who pay taxes. welcome to the show. We're here. Nothing's popped off yet, but, you know, we're still watching everything to make sure everything is... we're still watching everything. Let me introduce the Godfather Conservative Radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Hello, Wayne and everyone. Glad to be here. I got the wrong memo. I thought you said white shirts, not white hats.
Yeah, I was looking. Who is that? Thomas Jefferson?
No, that's Tiberius Gratius. He helped overthrow the Roman Empire for the populists. That's our logo from the American Tribune.
Okay. And then we also have the Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson. What's up, Jay?
Wayne Hutch, happy Monday. Hey, folks, tax day. Today is a perfect day to remember taxation is theft.
And one of the most brilliant things that the IRS or whoever thought it up ever did was to put your property taxes in with your mortgage payment. Because you don't find out until your 60s how much tax you pay. Mm-hmm. After you pay that mortgage off, then you got to still cut that tax check.
Yep. Well, and federal tax withholding. People don't see that $200, $500, $1,000, whatever it is every week going in the account. And then at the end of the year, they file their taxes and go, oh my God, I got $1,000. It's like, no, you gave them five. They gave you back one.
You see all the stories about nobody's proficient in math. That's because everybody thinks $10 an hour means seven.
Right. Yeah. And I love the tax system too, where it's like, you need to fill out the paperwork and send it in to tell the government how much money you owe them. And then it's like, don't you guys just know? Can't you just tell me? Because if you get it wrong, they'll audit you and fine you.
Right. And then 9 times out of 10, they already do know. Because, I mean, it's just that, they claim they have so little employees. So it takes them about maybe 4 or 5 years to catch up with you. And then when they catch up with you, well, you should have known, you know.
Some of it's just stupid. We did my father-in-law's taxes. He passed away last year. He made like $8,000 on Social Security. We sent it in. He gets his $300 they had withheld, refunded. And somehow they're like contesting it and sending us a letter.
Like, well, There's a couple things going on, but our eyes right now are focused on the Middle East and y'all heard what happened over the weekend. Let me get your tape.
Well, as it's unraveling here, apparently we weren't in the we knew about this. I'm seeing reports out of Turkey. Now, you know how the government does things when it's war. Like, we won't go right over and tell Tehran something. We tell some surrogate in another country, and they go over and pass the message, just like the Japanese with World War II here, the same way they did it. Well, Turkey apparently told Iran that they could launch the attack, but it had to be within certain parameters. And that's the one thing that I'm realizing lately, that, man, we're not always on the right side of things.
Right.
You know, and that's hard to take. It really is, because I don't really want to talk about it, but it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, you watch Marco Rubio come out, and I'll just give you a little advice. When Marco Rubio talks, that's the intelligence community talking.
Right.
You got to know that, folks. You know, I saw some things over the weekend. The intelligence community runs the panels, not the Congress. The IC.
There you go.
But, you know, so Rubio, I take everything he says with a grain of salt. You know, it's like, what are they trying to do here?
Yeah, I was going to say, this Cleo. God, love that cat, Wayne.
I mean, usually I can get to the basement door and close the door before she comes down. Today, she wants to be at the...
She's sitting there with the cable in her mouth.
Hey.
We need to get Wayne one of them spray bottles.
No, you know what? She looks at it now like, go ahead and pull it. go ahead and swing it. No, okay, so
I was going to say this whole thing's weird for those who didn't follow, because the media didn't cover it a ton. So news came out of Jerusalem that there was going to be an attack Saturday night. And in fact, we were texting about it like an hour before it started. Joe Biden goes on vacation to Delaware. And then Iran launches this attack and a couple other countries joined in. But they launched about 50 million, 30 to 50 million, it sounds like, dollars worth of drones. And it looks like the attack was designed to deplete the Iron Dome, which spent an estimate of $1.3 billion in defense missiles. So it was a great draining of Israel's stockpile. And then they rushed Joe Biden back to the White House. He was going to give a statement, and then he didn't. It sounds like the administration talked Israel out of counterattacking that same night, because Israel's like, we're going in. They even issued a warning to their citizens, stay inside. This isn't over. We're going back at them. And it sounds like Joe Biden told them, no, don't do that. And now, like Hutch said, it's coming out. It came out, I think, Sunday, that they had communicated back and forth between Iran and United States people through Turkey.
Yeah.
And basically Iran's like, we're going to do this thing. And the U.S. government, as long as you stay within certain parameters. So, I mean, Occam's razor, meaning the simplest thing is that this was an attack. There were no fatalities. They did some damage to military bases.
Look, but that Iron Dome has to be one of the ninth wonders of the world. Yeah. Seriously, for real.
That was another thing that came out, was the effectiveness.
Good God.
Yeah, but most of those drones they sent, they knew the Iron Dome would take it out. You know what I mean?
But
a couple
now,
of supersonic missiles.
And I'm glad you said that, because after 99% of their stuff got shot down, then they called it a win. Okay. We did what we had to do. It's over. But I have to go back to how this one started. I know how October 7th started with the Gaza thing. But I think Israel accidentally did something to their embassy or something.
Yeah, Israel had attacked one of the Houthis embassies or an embassy.
And accidentally killed like two generals or something.
Yep.
So Iran was responding to that and said, okay, we're done.
I saw another take on it too, was that Iran started this because of Saudi Arabia and Israel's relationship normalizing.
Right.
Because Iran and the Sunnis and the Shia, Iran's not a friend of Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
Okay. And I think at the end, if you say, what's the result of this? The result of this is all your Arab countries get to get fired up that, hey, they were attacking Israel. The Iron Dome performed well, as expected, to be honest, with just drones. Like, they never expect drones to get through the Iron Dome.
Yeah.
Huge money depletion.
But the barrage.
What's that?
But the barrage that was coming down, they were. Yeah,
can handle that.
Yeah, you can only prove that as it's happening, though.
Right.
Yeah. All that stuff on paper doesn't mean a damn thing.
Right.
Right.
But I mean, it performed like they thought it would.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's proven now.
Yeah.
Although I gotta say, if they were gonna attack to drain all the missiles of the Iron Dome with cheap drones, and then come in with real stuff, you want to get through would be a effective approach, because there's only so many missiles the Iron Dome has.
And you got to remember this too: we funded Iran twice.
Yeah, we're paying for both sides of this. Now I was going to say the end result of it: nobody died, and they're going to push through Israel and Ukraine funding this week. That's going to be the result.
And they're going to reorder all those Iron Dome missiles.
Yep. Yeah, so the military-industrial complex will get at least $1.3 billion to rebuild all those missiles. Iran gets to look tough to their friends, and the United States gets to give a bunch of more money to Ukraine, because they're not gonna put a bill for Israel up without Ukraine. So the loser, the American taxpayer,
and the people on the other end of these bombs.
Correct.
On the other end?
There will be.
Do you think that Israel is going to hit back?
It depends how much influence Biden and John Kerry and Valerie Jarrett have on them.
I'm sure that Netanyahu is not listening to Barack Obama or Biden. I mean, I know what they said about they weren't going to hit back immediately. Or they didn't hit back immediately after the phone call. But I'm sure that Netanyahu is going to do whatever is in the interest of Israel, period. Because from what we heard, they were hit from all sides from what we heard, you know. And if they were hit from all sides, and to hear our side say, okay, well, I mean, it came out that we said, okay, if you go after Iran after this, we're not going to support you. That's what I think Biden said. But the United States did help shoot down some of those drones Saturday night, which I was shocked when I heard that too. So it was like a,
yeah, there were British jets. There were American jets.
Saudis had helped us too.
And was it Jordan? Or there was some princess I saw that was actually a fighter pilot of one of the nations over there that had actually was up flying, taking things down. And word coming out of Israel this morning, if you believe their news or whatnot, is that their defense minister said there will be a retaliation. And he released that this morning, which is like at night for them. So,
and Iran said, we're done. But if you retaliate after we said we were done, if you retaliate, then we're going to come back even more. So that's why I said that everybody's watching this right now. I mean, you know, but you know what? We all heard that Iran was going to hit Israel on Friday, right?
Yeah.
But the CIA said that last Friday. I know because I did a story on WayneDupree.com about it.
Yep.
The CIA said on Thursday night.
Noticing a pattern?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Trump's trial started today.
Yep.
The distraction of this move from last week to today has everybody looking at Israel and Iran, even though I think that there are boundaries and parameters and stuff in place to make sure it doesn't go crazy. But American people don't know that. They just see Israel and Iran. But the trial is going on in New York.
Well, the trial's getting covered by all the news sources. I mean, that's all they're showing right now. You know what's interesting, too? It's funny. We were texting Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder if this Israel thing goes down. We were texting about the barge thing. And then a couple hours later, it started. Jen and I went grocery shopping Saturday afternoon. And before we went, it was right when the attacks were launched and everything was going. And, you know, I'm sitting there for like a half hour on Twitter going, holy cow, it's crazy. We go to the store, we shop, we come home, we start dinner. So it's like 2 hours into this. And we're like, we should see what like's getting reported. So we started flipping through just the regular channels, ABC, NBC, CBS. Not a single one had said anything. Like there wasn't even a scroll at the bottom of the channel or anything. One of the channels had the news on and they weren't talking about it. I'm like, this is really weird. Like right now Iran is shooting drones and missiles at Israel. And
yeah, but for us, I mean, for us, we see that. But for many people that have tuned out news and whatnot, they're looking online. They're looking at World War III. As is especially around the time that the Civil War movie just came out too. I mean, the CIA op, photo op, whatever thing that y'all be talking about sometime. It's just that when you put all these things here together, when you clump them all together, you got Americans going this way and that way and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, all right. We see what's going on.
I'll tell you what disturbs me is the shift in the last couple years of anti-Israeli protests and pro-jihadist protests. And then
the numbers are going up.
Yeah, you look at how the Democrats have shifted almost total Nazi. When it comes to Jews, man, it's like even the Jewish Democrats like Chuck Schumer. I mean, it's
Chuck Schumer 2 weeks ago was calling for new elections in Israel on the Senate floor. And there was we covered last week, the death to America in Tlaib's district. There was another political event. I can't remember which town it was in where the same thing happened. And now today it looks like airport on the way to Chicago is being blocked by pro-Hamas protesters.
So. Well, I was reading from Just the News, which is right.
John Solomon.
Yeah. He said many Democrats who were critical of Israel and even pressuring the country to agree to a ceasefire with Gaza are now saying they support Israel after Iran's major attack, leading to questions about how long their support for Israel will last. It is politically popular to be pro-Israel again, says Democratic Rep. Richie Torres, a vocal supporter of Israel. I don't know if you saw this video. I didn't capture it, but I saw it yesterday. American Jews were burning the Israeli flag.
I've seen things like that before. I mean,
I've never seen that before.
I guess I never saw them burning a flag, but I've seen them anti-Israel before.
Yeah. He was attempting to, because they were holding the flag like they do over there in Palestine and whatnot, but the lighter thing wasn't going off. It looked like you was trying, look like you was it's not working. You know? you was trying to burn the flag, but it wasn't working. Yeah, I saw that yesterday. Democrats critical of Israel switch tune after Iran attack popular to be pro-Israel again.
Follow the money.
John Fetterman, God love John Fetterman. Someday we'll have to get him on the show, but he came out. He's like, give the money to Israel, no limits.
Yeah.
But that's why a lot of these people have turned back to Israel, because that's the ticket for the forever war.
Right.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Big money being made out there. Being
and
wasted.
I was going to say, how many decades do we need to get stuck in the quagmire of the Middle East before we just go?
I'll tell you, and if you've ever been there, it's a armhole. It's a armpit of the world.
Right.
Total filth.
Yeah, it is.
It's and nice. I'm not saying we shouldn't take sides, or I'm not being anti-Israel. I'm just saying we've been in there for decades and spent trillions of dollars, lost. I mean, we've been a part of how many people dying over there by funding both
sides. And now they're all here.
Right, yeah. And then we relocated their kids here, who grew up hating us because we killed their dad too. 20 years ago. I mean, getting involved in that is just does not serve America's interests.
You know, I think another thing too is I saw this thing. I don't remember if I said this last week or not, but I saw this history teacher calling out the fallacy that our children have been taught. And even me, I thought when you look at our founding fathers in those white wigs and everything, they look pretty distinguished. And I didn't know that some of them were only 18 and 20 years old during this time frame, you know, but I totally forgot what I was. Oh, our Congress is like that's the most expensive nursing home that there is. This lady's saying these people are too old. They're out of touch. They've been there too long. We need some 20-year-olds in there. And I totally agree.
Yeah.
Maybe 30.
Can we just say like they have to like pay bills or something? Like they have to be on their own insurance plan, and then we can put them in there.
Let me ask y'all something. And President Trump over the weekend said, and he's justified in saying it too, but he said, this would have never happened if I was in office. And why is that relevant? Is because it didn't happen while he was in office. So he can say that. You know, not many people can say that, but he can say that. It didn't happen while he was in office, you know.
Again, too, you can't totally blame Democrats for this either. You got to remember, you got to think back. Senator Bobby Corker was the vote that got the Iranian treaty or whatever you want to call it passed the first time when they unlocked all those billions of dollars and the pallets of cash. Remember that? What that was bipartisan.
Yep. Well, and establishment Republicans, they love this.
Yeah.
You know, they all own stock and
sure.
And they've been a guest speaker for the annual meeting of all these military industrial complexes. They're getting big campaign checks. Sure. And like I say, it's not even just campaign checks. They're getting hired to come in and give a speech at a meeting. Their uncle or nephew or wife or cousin is got hired in some job they probably didn't deserve. Like, they're getting tons of kickbacks, and all they got to do is support war.
And guess who's on the boards of all those companies? Retired admirals, retired generals, colonels, all the way. The whole freaking board.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, President Trump is in New York today. He's going to be in New York for a little bit, at least for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Off the campaign trail. Maybe he can do the video from Trump Tower if he can't be out on the road. He probably can do weekends, though. You know, I don't think that they're going to do any court things on a weekend. But
I got to say, this is the greatest gift the Trump campaign could have ever gotten.
You want to pull him off? You want to
pull him off? Here's the thing. Pull him off. Go on CNN.com, MSNBC.com, FoxNews.com. Go on any one of these sites. Their entire story is Trump, Trump, Trump. And the more people,
is it not, men?
Well, what I'm saying, the more people that get exposed to this sham, because this one's the most stupid prosecution they're going after. I mean, it's the most meritless. But as more Americans see that case and they go, wait a second, they're going after him for hush money because he didn't use campaign money.
And the other thing, it's like the lawyer did have an affair with her.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but it turns out it looks like Michael Cohen was stooping her. Like,
you know what, though? I don't really think it's about that.
Well,
seriously, I really don't think it's about the hush money. I think it's about, you know how we talked about the media and the establishment was trying to hurt Trump's businesses and hurt Trump's this and that. This one is going after his family because they want him to take the stand, and they want to ask him questions, enough questions that's going to put a line right down Melania and Donald.
Right.
That's what this is. They know that. And I've been watching a whole lot of these lawyers and stuff. And I'm like, this thing. It's past the statute of limitations. No, okay, fine. They want him on the stand so that they can say, did you have an affair with the porn star? Now, he's already said no.
She's already said no.
But, well,
she already lost the court case over it.
Yeah, but if that's the case, if she said no, then why is this still up there with her?
Because they're gonna convict him of something.
And yeah.
And then on, it's gonna be convicted felon Donald Trump.
I saw that too. But I was thinking about Melania because I've been seeing a couple of things where other than one day or so last week when she was walking beside him, she really hasn't been with him. And I was like, I see what they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to drive that wedge between both of them and, not break them up, but cause something between both of them publicly, And he's gotten up there and said, I want to testify.
Terry's question here quick. To understand this New York case, so Donald Trump paying hush money to Stormy Daniels is legal. It's actually fairly common for politicians and for rich people. So the fact that he paid her money, 100% legal. The charge is... What's that?
What are you paying the money for if both of them said I'm happy?
To make it go away.
To make it go away. I mean, famous people, somebody comes out and says, hey, you did this. It's no different than a company where they say, hey, we'll just pay off this lawsuit because it's going to cost more to fight it. And she was coming out right before the election. So
to say what?
To say that they had an affair. And so then he paid through the National and through his attorney and the National Enquirer. They bought the rights to the story. So, but all that, nobody's questioning the legality of. What the charges stem from is that the source of the funds were from President Trump's personal money. And they're saying he paid the hush money to benefit his campaign. So it should have been campaign money that paid the hush money, not personal money. So they're saying that he should have taken his campaign funds to pay off Stormy, not from his personal checkbook. Which if you ask an American and say, okay, understanding the payment was legal, nobody's disputing that, should that payment come out of his campaign money or come out of his personal money? Most people, if you ask them that question, will go, well, it's personal money. Why would it come out of his campaign? So, and even if you want to say, well, it should have come out of his campaign money, not his personal, it's a misdemeanor whose statute of limitations has expired. So they had to make it a felony by the number of charges. So like it's literally an accounting issue. Everybody's saying this money was valid. He can do that. but it should come out of his campaign money, not his personal money.
I think also there's another element. I'm pretty sure that Trump didn't know anything about this transaction.
There's this was all Cohen. There's arguments that he didn't. But I mean, that'll get flushed out in court. And this information actually, because the charging documents are available online. I know it'll be a shock. I actually read the charging documents, but if you go review them, it's like, wait a second, this is the most ludicrous thing ever. Like, I mean, if you just ask a group of 10 people, like, okay, so he's paying hush money to the porn star, where should the money come from? Pretty much everybody will say his personal money. Because okay, you know, if it okay. came out of his all campaign, right,
I hear, I hear everything. I hear everything that you just said. Wow.
Look at this guy. Jeez.
right. Exactly. You know, I get, and that's what I was going to, well, actually, I wanted to ask you about that because you said that she said it wasn't an affair, right?
She wrote a letter saying that. Yeah, a statement.
Okay. But Jay said that she was going to come out before the election and say that there was an affair.
I've heard versions, and Jason, you're more into this than me, but I've heard versions that Cohen was behind all this, that he was attempting to extort Trump in the future. And if you look at him having an affair with her, that's the guy that started everything, I'll bet.
Yeah. So the story.
No, wait. I want to make sure that we aren't confusing anybody because you said that, because that's why I asked. I was like, well, why was this big? Why was there hush money before the election? You said that she was going to come out and say that it wasn't fair. However, then y'all said that she said that she wrote a letter saying that there wasn't any fair. So legally, shouldn't she be on trial? Actually, she had to pay $200,000 or $300,000, right? And that her and Evan Ivy, something like that, right?
Yeah. So to kind of go through the timeline, leading up to the 2016 election, and I will have the date wrong, but there was reports coming out. It was right after the grabbing by the P-word tape came out. They said, oh, there's a porn star going to come out. Trump, through Cohen, and there's some dispute if Trump knew or didn't know. Cohen was just his fixer. Cohen went to find out what the story was and kill the story and pay the hush money. So that transaction was completed. Donald Trump was paying Cohen in installments over 6 months. Like, Cohen fronted the money from his law firm, and then he was making payments on it. After the fact, there's been like 8 legal cases involving Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels and all back and forth. The letter people are referring to was a statement from Stormy Daniels, January 30th, 2018.
Yep.
So this is 3 years after it happened.
She denied right after it came out.
Yeah, she said, to whom it may concern, over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 11, 16, 17, and now again in 2018. I am not denying the affair because I was paid hush money, as it has been reported overseas. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on the matter. Please feel free to check me on Instagram. And it was a signed statement.
So when they get up in front of the court and they say, okay, what was the hush money for? Because Trump's lawyers are going to say, didn't you write a letter saying that there was no affair? Yes, I did. On April, whatever. Yes, I did. So what was the hush money for? If there wasn't any affair, it couldn't have been any hush money.
Once again, that's where they're trying to sensationalize this. The fact the hush money was paid is a fact. The hush money, whatever it was paid for, whether the affair had happened or didn't happen, is irrelevant to the charges. All those facts that they're talking about have nothing to do with it. This case is an accounting case. The 17 charges are related Two, should the money have come out of his personal account, or should it have come out of the other account? They're just
could it have went to somewhere else then? Could it have went to somewhere? Well, could it have? Well, no, because they probably had the money going to her bank account or whatnot. Could it have been? Because who's labeling it hush money?
It doesn't matter the reason for the hush money, Wayne.
I'm not talking about that. Who labeled this hush money? The media or did Michael Cohen?
Both.
Okay, so then you have two entities that are questionable anyway, that is labeling a payment with the label hush on there when they really don't know what it was for, because both of the people that were involved said that nothing happened. So when the sensationalizing that you're talking about is they keep on putting that hush money on here and they really don't know what it was for.
And that's the whole point behind Lawfare.
Right.
Make you think that he's having an affair with this porn star. And that's in your mind because hush money, hush money, hush money, hush money, hush money.
Exactly, right. Because
well, and look at the timing they're talking about. This affair, even Stormy Daniels says, this was from like pre-2006. So this was like 30 years ago they're talking.
No affair.
Right. Even if there was an affair, the timeline of this was decades ago. And
now Trump is he's a germaphobe. Do you really think he would go with a porn star?
It's like when the pee tape came out, that was the stupidest thing ever. Because like Donald Trump's a germaphobe. You don't want nobody peeing on him, you know.
Now that I do agree. I do agree with that. Do I
porn stars are nasty, man.
Man, hey, they clean up though. They clean up. I know.
Penicillin's cheap. I don't know.
Hey,
I got a pizza shop down the street that has a big sign inside, support trans kids. So I figure, well, give me a large pizza with extra pepperoni and some penicillin.
All right. But and so this is what's ridiculous about this court case. All these facts, did they have an affair? Did they not have an affair? None of that matters. I mean, if you look at how much was paid too. So like if you work for a business and somebody says, I fell down in your lobby and I'm going to sue you. And they come after you. The company just says, okay, let me write you a check to make this go away. Here's 10 grand, 20 grand, whatever.
That doesn't matter if you're guilty or not. They just want it to go away.
They just want it to go away.
That's what most of them do. I mean, that's why people litigate this stuff.
Right. And in the Stormy Daniels case, that's the point, is it doesn't matter what money was for. She was going to float this story, and he's like, whatever, give her 200 grand to shut up or whatever the number was.
But that's what I keep. Okay. That's what I can't get out of my head is like, what story was she going to float? Was it something else? Could have been something else and not the affair. Could have been something else, because if it's something else, then maybe that might get flushed out in court. But if there was no affair, the hush money, this passing of dollar bills couldn't have been for an affair. It had to be for something else. You know, that's what I was getting to when I was listening to you talk about it. I was like, okay, he's going through the timeline, but he's ending up in a place where he's saying, because Trump said he didn't have an affair, and she said on paper she didn't have an affair, and she got to pay Trump $220,000 or $230,000. I was like, so if neither one of them have an affair,
can I show you how nefarious this is too? So Michael Cohen got gone after by the Department of Justice. I forget the year. It was like 3, 4, or 5 years ago now. And they went after him for tax evasion because he was cooking the books at his law firm, unrelated to Trump, and before he was Trump's attorney. And they had him dead to rights for millions of dollars worth of tax evasion. He was paying all of his personal expenses and categorized them as business expenses for his house, his car, his condo, amongst other things. They charged him. So all this, that whole case was just all tax nonsense. accounting issues, malpractice with that. When they got his plea agreement, where he pled guilty to 7 charges, it was tax evasion, this, that, and the other, all related to taxes. The 7th one, they got him to, a part of his plea deal was that he said he committed election fraud in how he processed the Stormy Daniels money with President Trump. It was unrelated to the case. It was not what he was being charged for, but that was the plea deal Cohen took. So it's in the court record that Michael Cohen admitted to committing election fraud as the 7th charge. It was inconsequential. It didn't affect his sentencing or any of that stuff. So the Department of Justice has been cooking this up for years. And you can actually go read that judgment online. And it's funny, you'll read through the whole thing, and it's all this tax stuff, accounting nonsense. And then you get to his plea deal, and you're like, 1 through 6, all these make perfect sense. And then number 7, why is that even mentioned? It's not even mentioned in the case.
So Clay Travers, who was supposed to be taking over for Rush Limbaugh, I guess, him and somebody else were supposed to be taking over for Rush when Rush passed. He put out a tweet earlier today saying, if you're a Trump supporter in New York City, who is part of the jury pool, do everything you can to get seated on the jury and then refuse to convict as a matter of principle, dooming the case via hung jury. It's the most patriotic thing you could possibly do.
I'll tell you what, they'd get some stars in Manhattan if that happened. Because I'm not expecting that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even start that. I'm trying to get our lawyer on.
Man, the chat's great. So Christo Holloway, I can't show it up because he's used some bad language, but hey boys, do any of you have a 5-year-old kids? If so, ask them what happened. They'll tell you he blanked her and then he wanted to hide it. Are you really this stupid? Apparently you 2 rednecks and a black boy are. For the record, I am not a redneck. I am trailer park trash. I would have you know.
I ain't a black boy. I'm a black man.
He's a black man.
I'm black too.
Yeah. We all identify as black men. Second of all, Christo.
Hey, no. Wait, where is that? I want to see that.
It's in the chat. I can put it up, and it's got a naughty word on it.
Oh,
but
really?
Here's the thing that's important with that, Christo. If he blanked her and he paid her off, that is not against the law in America.
Christo, have you seen his wives? Have you seen his wives, Christo?
Right.
He's going to mess with a freaking porn star, and he's got the real thing right there.
You shouldn't be.
Talking like getting your mama's against the law. They're calling it. Because he used personal funds, it was a campaign interference.
Oh yeah, you already did that one. Whoever your name is, you shouldn't be talking like that in your mama's basement.
Right, get a job.
Yeah. You probably.
Oh, he's from Africa. Crystal. See, in America, we have these things called like rights and things that are legal or illegal, and it turns out even paying off a porn star isn't illegal. Yeah.
What part of Africa?
We're big in Africa. Who knew?
What part of Africa, Christo?
Namibia.
I hope he's not a farmer in South Africa.
Yeah. So that's what's happening with that. They're doing jury selection starting today. And again, they're pulling him off the campaign trail for the next. And I know y'all had to see this because y'all are because y'all look at the news. It is April, May, June, July, August. There was a story that came out that said Biden has caught Trump in the polls.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
And I'm like, first off, there's no way. Second off, he hasn't done anything to catch him in the polls. He hasn't signed anything. He hasn't did anything. I mean, now, if you want to talk about the billions and billions of dollars that he's wiped off or did for the school people or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, student loan forgiveness.
Yeah, but that's not enough to match him against Trump, especially with the economy and everything this way. But for me, I always thought, you remember I said, usually you have somebody that is out in front by double digits starting in January of an election year. It gets down to single digits before the conventions. When both conventions are over, you know, usually you had that convention bump for both sides. So by the middle of September, it's down to single digits for the most part. By the middle of October, it's dead net. Whether it's true or not, that's what they do. That's their remind you
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's all. And bet. A lot of people are going to be betting in Las Vegas on the same thing. How much is he going to win by? How many percentage points? By the way, how's your stock doing with True Social there, Chief?
You know, it is excellent. It's down to $28. So if you need to book any losses this year because your other investments are doing well, I 100%. Support my purchase of that stock.
Man, a lot of people are losing.
Spend a lot of money on it. I told you.
Yeah. I mean,
I can lose a couple $100 at the casino, or I can lose a couple $100 on stock.
Let me ask you this, because this came out first thing this morning, but I read some things, but then you probably would know because you know how to invest in stuff like that. You probably do too, Hutch. Yeah, your 401k. They added shares this morning to True Social. They added shares, available shares. But the stock went down because of that. They said one of the reasons is because it devalues the earlier shares when they add more shares. Is that right?
Generally speaking, yeah, if they do like share splits or add shares or that kind of thing, it just dilutes the value. Generally, if you're going to do that, and I've got to read the financial report for what they're doing, they can either add shares or they can do a split. In a split, if you have one share, you have two, so the price goes down, but you get double the quantity. So, yeah, I mean, investing in True Social, the financial indicators of the company are not super strong. No. So I would not be looking at this as an investment. I would be looking at this as supporting a free speech movement.
Speaking about free speech, I want to read something to both of y'all. And I think this affects all of us. Your website business, Hutch, your podcast business, and since I have both in that way, right wing. Okay. Read something over the weekend, and I think it's hard, but I think that's where we are right now. As you know, as you may have heard, mainstream news organizations are facing a financial crisis. Many liberal publications have taken an even more severe beating. But most of the dramatic declines over the past few years belong to right-wing and conservative websites. The flow of traffic to most loyal digital media boosters isn't just slowing. It's almost collapsing. This past February, readers of the top 10 conservative websites was down 40% compared to the same month in 2020. That is true. Jay, you seeing traffic down too?
We're pretty blessed. We've got good traffic.
Okay, some of the bigger names in the field have been pummeled. Daily Caller have lost 57% of the audience. Drudge Report, down 81%. The Federalist just found it over 91%. Fox News, by far the most popular, has fared better, only losing 22% of traffic. which translates to 23 million fewer monthly site visits compared to four years ago. What's going on? The obvious culprit is Facebook. For years, Facebook algorithms set up links to news and commentary. So basically, if you read on, it's talking about how Facebook has decided to remove or de-emphasize news. Same thing is happening with Twitter X. The advertisers have left. Most of the advertisers have left. Elon is begging them to come back, but most of them have left. Which brings me to this. We need your help. The thing is, and I've said this before from time to time too. Now, you're going to see, if you go to WayneDupree.com, because it seems like many of these platforms don't like news. That is true. They don't like the news. Now, if you want to post something about celebrity, if you want to post something about cats, if you want to post something about feel-good stories, even crime, local crime stories or whatnot, that might get a little bit more views. But when it comes to politics, they dumping on it. They are definitely dumping on it. Shaka Khan, I read this last night. I don't know whether y'all have heard Shaka Khan before. She's leaving politics. She's leaving politics because she said politics is BS.
She was right.
She has done concerts for both Republicans and Democrats. But now she says she's out. She's done. She said that she's going to be doing concerts and stuff for fans and different things like that. But she's not doing anything with politics anymore. She's out. And I think that is where legacy media and the establishment and the politics, they have worked together. They're not trying to fix Section 230. They're not trying to help anybody that is suppressed meaningfully. They're not trying to do that. They want you to conform to a place that you're not reporting on them. You're not saying anything about them. You're not exposing the establishment. And, you know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard not to, especially when you've been doing it for a while, it's kind of hard not to try to expose the establishment for what they're doing.
That's the media's job.
That's right. That's the charge. That's the charge that should be out there. Go ahead.
And to talk about the website traffic and put it in perspective. Because this might be interesting to the audience. I mean, one, when you look at traffic numbers, if you compare to 2021, when everybody was locked inside on the internet, you're going to naturally see a decrease in traffic. But most website traffic, like 1/10 of your traffic, is people that go to WayneDupree.com or TheAmericanTribune.com and go to your website. The majority of the traffic comes from social media pages. You post a link on a Facebook page, on a Twitter page, Telegram, wherever the audience is. And if it's interesting to them, they click on it. Oh, there you go, Wayne. But like to use our site as an example on the American Tribune, which the American Tribune is a NewsGuard certified site for those who say they want news, not opinion. But like we posted an article about the Senate is debating a bill that's going to cut funding
NewsGuard
that embrace DEI. So that's kind of an interesting story if you're into politics. Facebook immediately suppress that story. Now you compare it to the article we wrote that said Stephen A. Smith weighs in on the OJ trial. Facebook shares the heck out of it.
Also, you know what? Too Facebook. Either it was Wednesday or Thursday, Facebook opened up a new bonus for me for engagement type stuff.
Yeah.
And they told me this is what you have to hit weekly, you know. So instead of putting up stories now. I basically just put up motivational quotes.
Things to get people
and share. And those numbers go through the roof.
Yep. You know? So Twitter's the same way. If you link to an article on Twitter, they'll suppress the heck out of your post.
They will.
But if you post something, especially something with a native video attached, it gets a ton of reach.
Yeah.
So, but that's where people don't realize, like over in the chats on Rumble, we had Patty C do a $10 super chat. You know, some people log on to WayneDupree.com and subscribe to your page, you know, or share the show, that kind of thing. Like that makes a huge difference for content creators because
thank you, Patty.
We are fighting an uphill battle against the suppression machine. And I mean, if we post any article that says Trump in it, like it's going nowhere.
You know what, too? I also have to say, because if I'm wrong, I apologize. Oh, by the way, some people have noticed patriotism is misspelled in our intro. They fixed it. They sent it to me last night. I just didn't get it up. It'll be up tomorrow. Now, I have to apologize. I said that you don't make money on Rumble. We're making a little bit on Rumble. Not making a lot, but we're making a little bit. And that's because of all these awesome people that tune in to watch us on Rumble. Because if you go to Rumble, they're running ads on your thing. Have you noticed that, Hutch?
I don't know if they do it on Rumble. I know my audio podcast runs ads because I got to place them.
Check when you play your.
All right. I will say that I haven't got a payout yet.
Right.
But I'm seeing a payout in reserve waiting for March.
Right.
And I was kind of impressed with that.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. I have to go back all the way to August 2023. Some reason the payment stopped. I don't know why, but the payment stopped. So, you know, I'm talking to him last. I got an email saying your Rumble payout such and such, but I still haven't seen anything.
There you go.
So you know, I'm checking out stats and stuff by accident, let me go.
You gotta go and hit the cash out button if you want them to pay you.
They don't all have cash out buttons.
This one doesn't have a cash out button. So, you know, I'm like,
you got more than one kind of account. You got a publisher and a creator.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I go to the thing and I was like, wait a minute. August, September, October, November, December, January, February, because I'm seeing ads at the beginning of the show, especially when the show's over. So I'm like, where's this money at? You know, and, you know, I contacted him. You have to go on there, make sure that you pick whatever payout, whether it's a check or by PayPal.
Yeah.
And then it verifies through your email, and then, boom, it goes.
By the way, if you're set up for PayPal, do PayPal. I've been waiting 7 weeks for a check from Rumble, and I love Rumble. I've been emailing with a guy. I finally got a contact there last week. And I'm like, I cashed this out 7 weeks ago. And I don't do PayPal for our business because PayPal, like, they can get wonky and, like, hold your money and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I'm like, I will do anything to avoid PayPal. I would rather just send me a check or whatever. But, yeah, I've been waiting for 7 weeks. The guy's like, oh, we're really sorry. We'll send you a check. And now it's been a week later.
Yeah, you know what, too? He told me, he was like, change the check. I said, oh, no, I don't change the check. I don't even have checks for my business. I mean, if I need to send something, I send something through the wire. I'll mess with checks.
Yeah, they don't even have wire available. I'm like, I'll pay the $25 fee. Like,
right. They don't have that. But you can go and change it back to PayPal just as soon as you, like, I change it over to check. And then I was like, let me try something. Let me change it back over to PayPal. Boom, it worked. I said, okay, we get paid at the end of the month. for the show, then I can pay some of these bills. But yeah, I just gotta I'm not begging, you know, somebody. Yeah, Hutch knows. Just don't want to beg. I just haven't, you know, that's not me. But somebody over the weekend said, you know, I told him, I was like, one of the main reasons why I don't ask people for donations or whatnot is because people are quick to call you a grifter. And, you know, I just don't want that. And they responded, well, first, don't concern yourself about people calling you a grifter. They're typically people who have zero talent and don't want to see you excel. Secondly, I saw your LinkedIn and it says you've been doing your show for about 12 years. Is that right? If so, you definitely should have written a book or two since then. Third, your voice is being drowned out by copycats in the echo chamber. You all are reporting the same news, having the same discussions. You must micro niche and singers yourself from others. How do you remember when we were really the first ones that were doing it?
Yeah, and we mixed having fun with it. Republican politics and Republican media was always pretty stiff.
Yeah.
And I think we changed that model up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I mean, honestly, I've always had, I've had many people watch us. They just don't say anything. They watch us and then they mimic, try to copycat respectively things that we have done over the years. So, you know, when I look at how we have done things, we went from Spreaker was it, right? We were just doing Spreaker at one time. Then we went to Live 365, created our own network, showing people that we can do our own network and stuff. Then we went to
that off the wall one, a war radio one.
The
one that you had the Christmas music on.
Live 365.
No, there was one after.
No, there was another one. Right. Yeah. That was, yeah. Yeah, that
how have we not been playing clips from the 2014 podcast? Come on, guys.
Because we were tricked.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. I mean,
and now a lot of those things are getting flagged on Facebook. A lot of those old Wayne Dupree, Hutch Bailey Jr.
You listen to those shows, we got Eric Holder going to prison and all kind of stuff. Yeah, waving the flag for freaking John McCain and Mitt Romney.
They're all flagged now. They're all
days.
Yeah. But then we went to video.
Spreecast.
And people were watching us doing all these things, you know, and like we even got the
Wayne was a slave driver too, boy.
Really?
He'd be on 6 days a week, 3 hours. I mean, it was crazy.
Oh my God.
and that was for free.
I was gonna say we weren't even getting paid. Where you at, Hutch? Where you at?
I'm driving along the way home. Hurry up, man. Doing shows in army uniforms and whatnot.
Those are the days.
They're marching in St. Louis. They're marching in St. Louis. But yeah, we got the label that we were on the cutting edge of so many things because we kept moving. And as people tried to mimic and imitate some of the things that we were working, they didn't understand. I was watching Glenn Beck. I was watching CNN. I was watching MSNBC. Crossfire was it for me, watching them go back and forth like that and stuff. You know, I was like, okay, yeah, that's a nice format right there. Watching Glenn Beck.
I wanted to get a set.
Yeah, I know, right. Yeah.
Especially after I seen the Young Turks. What it was too. It was the Young Turks and NRA TV. Remember theirs?
NRA TV was.
Man, did they have a nice studio.
That was top notch, man. That, I mean,
and in the Young Turks, what a scam. Those guys get to, like, they get to say the craziest unhinged leftist stuff, and they never get fact-checked or demonetized or have their ad rate suppressed. I mean, imagine that, that you can say anything you want.
And those guys, they're the ones that gave you the freaking squad.
Right.
Right, 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 right. Not only that, not only can they say anything they want, he parlayed that into a show on MSNBC.
Right.
You know, we don't get that.
And then Cenk's running for president. I mean, I think he dropped
right, out. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, he got his butt whipped by Roger Stone. At a CPAC.
Did you see him posting all those pictures of him and all those honeys?
Who?
Roger Stone. It's nice to be king, and he got all these women around him.
Really?
Roger Stone's a pimp.
He is.
But, I mean, imagine if you're doing left-wing. Like, we get a little hyperbolic sometimes. We get a little fired up. You know, guilty as charged. But imagine being on the left where you could say anything you want about President Trump and never have any risk of being fact-checked. Like, how wild is that? Like, how many times do we have to stop and say, oh, we can't say that on Facebook? Even if we have a report that shows it happened, it's insane.
Supreme Court snubs House Republicans who dodge metal detectors in Congress after January 6th.
Say that again.
Supreme Court's decision, Supreme Court, what happens in Congress stays in Congress. The Supreme Court signaled on Monday as it turned away an appeal by three Republican congressmen who were fined $5,000 by the House for dodging security scanners installed after January 6th.
You're telling me that three congressmen, three Republicans, took a $5,000 fine all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yep. Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Lloyd Smucker of Pennsylvania, and Louis Gohmer of Texas took it to the Supreme Court.
And got told to jump in the lake.
Same thing happened with Marjorie Taylor Greene and two more people that took theirs to the Supreme Court and said that their $500 fine or their five, what is it, two or three?
There was a pretty significant fine, actually, on some of them.
Yeah. Wow. Look, it says Clyde, Smucker, and Gohmer refused to pay their fines after losing an appeal to the House Ethics Committee, and each saw their pay docked by $5,000. They make $174,000.
Plus stock tips.
Oh my God! Do you guys follow that Twitter account that the Quintitative Silver?
I've been seeing something about stocks lately.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a Twitter account that actually tracks all congressional stock purchases, and then they'll post it, and it's both Democrat and Republicans. Matt Gaetz,
it's called Pelosi Tracker or something like that, right? Is that what it's called?
Look it up. It's Quintitative.
Matt Gaetz is making a bunch of money, like you said. Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. Ah, no, it's not coming up.
I thought I had Jay on here. Mike Lindell. This just happened 2 hours ago. Supreme Court has been busy, man. His phone seizure case was just rejected by the Supreme Court.
I'll tell you what, Lord. Man, these people are compromised.
His phone was seized while he would he was in Hardy's restaurant in Minnesota. He was on his way home from a duck hunting trip. And I guess they showed up in the Hardy's restaurant and took his phone away from him. It's not funny. It's not funny.
It's tragic.
It's like you eating a hamburger and all of a sudden, man, somebody's in trouble. Why are they coming this way?
All right, so that that stock price one is Quiver Quantitative, Q-U-I-V-E-R Quantitative. And okay, if you track it, all it does is track stock purchases from congressmen. It's awesome. Like that Mark McGuire dude, the Republican, he's up 41%.
Gallagher.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Who?
Gallagher.
What's that?
The one that's leaving.
Yeah, you're talking about Gallagher, right?
No, it's the one dude with the beard, Mark. Oh, I forget his name.
Judge Merchan, who's in charge of the court case, he rejected Donald Trump's request for a recusal in his hush money trial.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see how this ends. This is so freaking third world. I mean, I'll tell you that just not just the court case, but all the FISA stuff and everything. Margaret Hagerman, the one that replaced Dick Cheney, had some testimony in Congress the other day. And man, she was on fire. She was on fire. She's something else there. What an upgrade from Liz Cheney.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's the dude I was talking about is Senator Mark Wayne Mullen.
Oh, Mark Wayne. Okay.
Mark Wayne Mullen. Oh. His stock has risen 41% since he's
rich already.
On, like 4 months ago. And he's on the committee, like one of the committees that would be impacted by Raytheon. Or that would impact
race. He's the one that always wants to start a fight.
he's the one that
doesn't wear a tie. And he's like, you want me to come down there? I'll come down there right now. You know, kind of like, yeah, that's him.
Well, and I'm going to say, as we talk about Supreme Court too, and I believe it takes off tomorrow with oral arguments, is going to be the January 6th trial. And this one is going to be huge because, I mean, just the 60-second headline is all these people have been charged with violating Sarbanes-Oxley, which is an accounting law. And this law has been applied. It's been on the books for 20 years. It's being applied against January 6ers, unlike how it's ever been applied in the history of the law. And there is a better than average chance that they're going to say this overturns. Now, all these people that have been convicted, they were convicted of trespassing and all this stuff, but none of that carries any jail time because they don't enforce those laws anymore. So that's why they had to use the Sarbanes-Oxley law. But if that gets reversed, you could see a trickle down very quickly of all the January 6ers where they'll say, okay, well, that one's thrown out. You served your 3 months in jail, go home. So that could be huge. But
I would argue that they reject that and say, no, we're suing you. They all ought to come out millionaires.
They should. Well, and actually the Department of Justice, because in the legal circles, they're speculating that this law is going to get over, that this ruling is going to get overturned because they just should have never used that law for it. But the DOJ is saying, well, if that happens, we're going to have to recharge them with something else. Like the Supreme Court's going to say nope. And then they're going to double down. But if you think timing, the hearings this week, and then usually it takes about 3 weeks, so about middle of May-ish, like you could see. And can you imagine the left's mind if all of a sudden the Supreme Court rules, all they'll hear is, hey, the Supreme Court's letting the January 6ers out. Like, can you imagine the calls to Pakistan?
Have you noticed the developments in this? There's three Army officers coming out and saying that Trump definitely called for the National Guard. We were on the bus for hours in our helmets and our face shields.
Yep.
You know, I hope this unravels. Man, I hope it's so bad. Just get us back on a justice level.
I guess for me, my issue is just with the system itself. I just don't like some of the things I've been seeing come out of the Supreme Court. That's all. And I mean, and they live in D.C. or they're close to D.C. And I mean, it's great to want to wish and actually we really need it. I was going to ask you all earlier about do you think that Republicans that are in Congress right now should develop a Drain the Swamp Act and like pre ahead, you know, like they did with the Contract with America. Maybe they should do a Drain the Swamp Act about all the things that they're planning on doing to almost seal or help Donald Trump seal and also them their seats in November if they come up with a Drain the Swamp Act. I don't know.
They just voted for the 702 for the FISA thing, and they don't want to drain the swamp.
And then that was my question to you too, because when that when that came down, I was like, "Wait a minute!" But I was just celebrating them not doing it, and then they came right back around, and then they did it. I was like, "What? What? The, I mean, side, you know, and bipartisan too. It just wasn't 3 or 4 that went over there. It's like over 100 or something, wasn't it?
126." Right.
But they did get the carve out where they can't surveil members of the House or Senate without a warrant.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Edward Snowden came out and he said that Speaker Johnson is showing textbook signs of congressional capture. They did something to him, or they showed him something that the intelligence community runs Congress, man. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you saw that interview last week. It was at the end, I think it was on like Thursday or Friday, where he went in and they were talking about this FISA thing. And he said, before I was Speaker of the House and in the Gang of Eight, I was anti the FISA and all that. And then they took me in the skiff and they showed me videos, and that made me change my mind. Now, he never said what the videos were, and everybody's.
You got to wonder about that then, because you keep seeing the FBI guy come out and saying, there's some crazy stuff going on around. We just saw the barges up the Ohio River.
That was weather related, though.
Was it really?
Yeah, we had big flooding and everything going on. That stuff happens every now and then.
Oh, did you see?
The timing was crazy, though.
The FBI opened an investigation into the Baltimore Bridge.
Yeah.
Just this morning, after calling us all conspiracy theorists for a week or two or however long it's been.
Where do you see all the leftists in Baltimore? That's going to be renamed the George Floyd Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Hugo Chavez Bridge or something.
Right.
That'll have something to do with something in Maryland. They won't mess with Floyd in Minnesota. What's that kid that...
the Omar Little Bridge.
Trayvon Martin.
No. It was another kid in the back of the police thing.
Broke his neck.
Yeah. They didn't even have to him. They don't have to go to Minnesota for that.
Francis Scott Key, what a racist piece of garbage.
It's a lot. It's a lot of news coming out today.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, it's there to make you go like this, you know. So, Tesla. Tesla's laying off 14,000 employees, man.
That's a beautiful thing. I love it when the marketplace reacts to common sense. Yeah. I really do, man. It shouldn't be a surprise that the media is falling apart. And even when you mentioned the right-wing sites, I would doubt that Drudge is a right-wing site, but I even don't go to the Daily Caller anymore. Some of those people took the 30 pieces
of silver. I don't either.
You know, you go down there after a while, and you're noticing this dude sounds like Bill Kristol, man. I mean, why is this never Trump stuff up on here? Same way with Town Hall.
I don't go there either. I don't. As a matter of fact, I just go to WayneDupree.com. you look at, I don't even, I never really went to InfoWars, but if I have to, but you know, I, like once every 5 or 6 months or something, I may go over there and check out InfoWars and whatnot. I might, I think I might check out the American Tribune. I know I don't check out the Gateway Pundit at all either, but I do check out.
I still do use them.
Yeah, not me. Yeah, well.
Jim and his team get a little out there, but their stuff is usually sourced. They just extrapolate.
But you know, there were some people that used to get in trouble for the style that the Gateway Pundit does, because the Gateway Pundit take a story or a quote from a story, they'll write maybe one or two paragraphs and then do the whole, and then have about three or four paragraphs of the quote and a link to the other place. I've seen people get in trouble for that. I've seen NewsGuard used to jump on people all the time. Like, you're not doing news. You're just doing commentary type of stuff. So you're really on a news site.
Usually that's a writer thing because they have word limits. I mean, you have the same with your writers where you want 500 or 1,000 words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you have to quote sometimes from an article if there's a thing. But, like, if you don't keep an eye, and we had it with our writers for a while. I went on there. I'm like, why is it all block quotes of, like just right. Link them to that article. They don't need to be on our site.
Right.
You know, and, like, the writers weren't putting in the work. So that's just a cheap workaround.
I think the worst thing for me has been the transition from authors to copy and pasters of tweets.
Right.
I can't stand that. That's the most lazy way to what do something. That, and you're noticing now that these authors, these so-called authors and journalists, can't even utilize the English language.
Right.
Yeah. It is horrible, man. The grammar and the things that you see.
And that's what grammar sites out there to help you. They don't use it. They don't use it. Twitchy was always big for using those tweets.
Just I hated that. I mean, that was like kind of what Twitchy was.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like some Daily websites are doing that too. Yeah, exactly.
And they would say, such and such happened. Read the reaction of such and such. And then you see like 20 in a row
tweets. Yeah, I hate that.
And it's not Twitchy. It's just a regular old website like that. And it would take a long time for the page to load because it's loading all those tweets from Twitter. Oh, guess what, too? In changing up a couple of things that I'm doing on Twitter, I got a payout of $120.
Giddy up.
From Twitter. Because usually it's stuck at, like, it was $35, $40, $35, $40. And when I start changing and doing questions and stuff instead of articles, sharing articles. And another thing I'm doing too on Twitter X is I'm making memes of the story, you know, but I'm not putting a link to the article. I'm just putting on the meme, just visit WayneDupree.com. This is the title of the thing. And, you know, that's how that is happening. But
I will say, if you want to get into the Twitter algorithm, the guy to follow is Alex Finn, AlexFinn. He actually breaks down the algorithm because the code is open source. And he'll say, if you do these things, it helps your reach. And if you do those things, it doesn't. And it's written right into the code. But what's nice, too, is he, like, screenshots the code. And then he says, I'm going to make it simple. Do this, this, and this. And you'll like it.
But one of the and I think you sent that to me. The only problem is that works if they open up the your lane for people to see what you're doing. You can do what he's telling you to do, and that's going to be for the tunnel or the room that you have established already. They have to open up the lane or they have to open up that room so more people can see it.
The way the algorithm works, it's just a computer program. And if you do it for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, your reach continues to increase. And I'm a bad tweeter. Like my tweets, like I'm ranting boomer. But some of the guys that I work with are content creators or writers, and the way they write tweets are designed to maximize reach of the algorithm. They write it kind of like an article. They include a video element.
I'm still on somebody's list. And I've been going in there and deleting lists too. I've been going in there and deleting old lists. I thought I could get rid of the DMs. It's really not the DMs. It's the list. And this happened before the 2020 election. You go in and you find yourself on some real cruddy list. And, you know, for those that are on Twitter, X, and you want to get rid of those lists, you have to block the person that put you on the list. And then you can unblock them if you want, but you have to block them to get yourself off of their list. I'm on a couple of Hutch's lists. I just passed over that and went to other people.
I don't even look at those lists. I guess I got to go check.
I'm just telling you guys.
Twitter's like not my mainstream, man.
Go on Alex Finn's Twitter account. Take 20 minutes. He's got great tips and tricks. He makes it really simple to understand. Like, for example, again,
I agree with you to a point. It's just it just doesn't work for me, you know. Yeah, I mean, I read it backwards, forwards, up and down, and even with the memes. Right now, if I put something about my mom on there, it'll blow up. But if it's news or whatnot, it ain't going nowhere. And I ain't even talking about putting a link on there now, because I even was putting a link in the reply, like he said, like some other people have said, that still doesn't go anywhere for me, you know?
Oh, geez. Every day.
Or he will be arrested. Guess what? That he'll stay home tomorrow for that one. He'll stay home for that one tomorrow.
So give me some of them orange clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Arrest me. Well, prediction, Jay, you got it? April 15th, 126, Trump is going to get arrested within the next 6 weeks for something. Because whether it's the gag order, whether it's missing a day or whatnot, he's going to get arrested, and they're going to put him in jail for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, because then somebody from the federal government, get him out. They're starting to... The wagons are starting to circle on social media. Watch out, man. But yeah. Right. And that Judge Jordan's serious. He's not serious. He ain't going to put Trump in jail. That would be stupid. All right. We got to go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please subscribe, y'all. Sure, I'll work. Because it's still being suppressed on the big tech platform. And if you enjoy the show, if you enjoy our broadcast, because we're really not a show, if you enjoy the broadcast, share it. You know, share it. We need to be seen by everybody. The show is uploaded to where you can listen to it on podcast too. Share the podcast on wherever you listen to your podcast. Just say Wayne Dupree Podcast. Wayne Dupree Podcast. And write a review. Usually I don't ask for that too. Write a review. You probably do the same thing for Cold War Radio too. Write reviews and help us move up higher in the list, you know. All right. J-Rob is going to start off with our final thoughts. And then we're going to go to Hutch Bailey Jr. with his final thoughts. And y'all didn't say nothing about the graphics or anything, but that's okay. and then we're gonna see y'all tomorrow. Right.
Folks, thanks for tuning in. Hutch, Wayne, great show. And I gotta say, One of my favorite parts of doing this show is the food pictures we send each other of our dinners. Hutch made some spaghetti this weekend.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm going to counter that with Italian pasta salad. Wayne's like, here's my chicken. Like, it's a great chat. It's one of the highlights of my life.
Hutch, interesting thing. Hutch was going minute by minute, wasn't he? I was like, why is my phone dinging like
oh, my God. That looks so good. And he had his grandkid, Hutch Bailey the Fourth, in church. Oh, I was awesome.
Yeah, church. Yeah, that was nice. Yeah.
But my thought for the week, keep an eye. Just looking in the news today, there's like two or three spots in America where the Hamas protesters are blocking airports. I think Chicago, I've seen, New York.
They're blocking the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right. Yeah. So this is getting really spicy. And I mean, I got to. Got to say, with what's happening in Israel and Iran, like, buckle up, folks. This could be an interesting few weeks.
Yeah,
I agree. I think there's going to be a come to Jesus moment at some point too. This can't just continue to go without consequences. I do what you say, Wayne. I tell everybody to write us a fair review. If you like the show, write us a fair review. I don't say give us a 5-star. You decide that. We know what we're going to get, but you decide that. See you tomorrow. I'm going to go enjoy the weather a little bit.
It is 80 degrees over here.
Mm-hmm.
It is freaking 80 degrees. What is it up in Minnesota? About 30, 40?
It's like 65, 70, which for us, it's short weather. And take the dog to the dog park weather, man.
Oh, it 65 is in Minnesota. Them Somalians are taking their shirts off.
Yeah. Jen and I, we got the windows open. I'm walking around in shorts. We did yard work. It was awesome.
Yeah, you better watch that, because they'll be holding hands with those long dresses peeing on the side of the road like they do in Saudi Arabia. But anyway. All right, y'all. See you tomorrow.
Traffic jams. Tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.